So let's pray. Father, thank you that where the twos and threes are gathered, there you are in the midst. And Father, even tonight, Lord, we don't want to see and hear what man has to say, but we want to have the revelation that you have got on your heart for the man of God. And Father, that, Lord, we may be able to realize, Lord, that there is a warfare that's on, and we need children of the Lord to stand up and be accounted for. So, Father, thank you that you are willing, Lord, to make everything possible through us who are here on this earth and who stand for the kingdom of God. So, Father, thank you that you are willing, Lord, even in us, Lord, that we should not perish, but that we should have everlasting life. But more importantly, Lord, we thank you, Lord, that the word of God is able to come and dwell richly amongst us through when we hear the word of God, Lord, that's where you give faith. And so, Father, we thank you that even tonight, Lord, that you may release into our midst your word in such a way, Lord, that it will not return void, but more importantly, Lord, that it may conform us more into the image of your Son, the Lord Jesus Christ. Have your way with us, mold us and shape us, even as we are that lump of clay in the potter's hands. Mold us and shape us in Jesus' mighty name. Amen. Amen. All right, so the scripture that I used in the advert that I put out is quite pertinent to the time that we find ourselves in. You know, if you think about it, as it's said, and this is really what Paul is writing to Timothy, but it's all scripture is given to prophets, so it's for us, where we need to fight the good fight of faith, and also to lay on to eternal life. So there's something that's going to take place here as we sit under the word of God, that faith may be imparted to us, that we may be able to stand up in a dark world and proclaim the good news. And ultimately, that it's not just us, but that the many may come to that place of being able to grab hold of eternal life.
Amen.
And so there, it says that we are called unto this, and we need to have a profession and a good profession. In other words, there's a job that needs to be done, and it's before witnesses. Now, who are these witnesses? Well, the witnesses are those that behold us and see what manner of man we are. Can they see Jesus in us, and can they see that we are men of God? And the other thing is as well, is that when it comes to witnesses as well, you know, how do we witness, and what do people see? And not only what do they see, but think about this, that God the Father is in heaven, and seated on his right hand is the Son of God. And they not only intercede for us, but they see us. And they see everything that we go through. So we need to be those that are evident in his midst, and that we walk circumspectly before an almighty God. And then the hosts, the angels in the angel realm. Think about it, that they look down and they say, what is man that thou art mindful of, or the son of man that thou should visit him? So here we are, we stand, and there are witnesses in all sorts of realms. But there is also another realm, and that is that realm of principalities and powers that will try to influence and prevent. But that witness that we have when we fight the good fight of faith, that they will be held back. Held back from their influence. Now, we know the Holy Ghost is already doing that, but held back through the influence as we proclaim and we pray that that would be displaced. So God When I say valiant man, what I'm talking about is that those that are brave, those that are courageous, and those that are honorable in the sight of God, who fight the fight of faith. And so this Bible study that we're going to be doing is really from, as the Lord has downloaded to me, the Word of God governing the footsteps, how we should walk as honorable men. And so I want to start with the scripture, Proverbs 3, 1 to 13, and I'm just going to read the scripture. My son, forget not my law, but let thine heart keep my commandments. For length of days and long life and peace shall they add to thee. Let not mercy and truth forsake thee. Bind them about thy neck, write them upon the table of thine heart. So shalt thou find favor and good understanding in the sight of God and man. Trust in the Lord with all thine heart, and lean not unto thine own understanding. In all thy ways acknowledge him, and he shall direct your paths. Be not wise in thine own eyes. Fear the Lord, and depart from evil. It shall be health to thy navel, and marrow to your bones. Honor the Lord with thy substance, and with the first fruits of thine increase. So shalt thy barns be filled with plenty, and thy presses shall burst out with new wine. My son, despise not the chastening of the Lord, neither be weary of his correction. For whom the Lord loveth, he correcteth, even as the Father, the Son, in whom he delighteth. Happy is the man that finds wisdom, and the man that getteth understanding. So, just as an introduction of what we're going to be studying, as we venture into this Bible study, we're going to focus on God's valiant man, an underlying principle that will always embrace the direction that this subject entails, which is clearly established in the first book of the Bible, which is Genesis. And there is only one true God and one creator of all things. The word of God, as recorded in the Bible, is the source of his creative power and the establishment of his divine order. So God commanded that the creation would come into being with an eternal purpose. And so in God's mind, as he declared in his creation, there was one aspect of his creation, and that is mankind, who became the apple of his eye. And he also began a good work by his power, and he will complete that which he has begun. So man has an option to either choose to surrender to God's fashioning and molding, in other words, his plan, or resist him. And when we resist him, it's then that we choose the destructive influences of darkness and we get open to that exposure. So that's what important, as the scripture and Proverbs say, the Lord loveth those and correcteth. Why? Because he doesn't want us to get influenced by an outside influence that directs us away from the things of the Lord. And so what is happening in the world today gives us a clear indication of the things that drive man, you know, selfish lusts. And the drive for power feeds man, and it feeds his pride. And we see that in the world, but even, dare I say, that it even seems to be penetrating the church. And these aggressive demands that dominate man is what has plunged our world into crime, into war, to hate one another, and the lusts that demand gratification, no matter what the cost and the wake of the destruction that it leaves behind. So in the world today, the principles that God has put in place as declared in the Bible, and that's the Word of God, are no longer viewed as the norms of life. In fact, God's standards are considered to be, by the world, to be ridiculous and probably not even with the times that we live in at the moment. Now, that's different for us, obviously, but that's how the world perceives us. So man has moved so far away from the truth, and so far away from what God declares, that even the matter of gender and the sanctity of life are totally confused. And defining the features of masculinity and femininity has become totally blurred and misrepresented. Now, however, when we study, and I believe really that God has set a standard and He set a truth as far as the author of our life is, and as far as the Creator God is concerned, and it is revealed right here in the Word of God. And this is our manuscript. This is our blueprint. And this is life. And so for the creation, He created a standard, and He loves us dearly. And as the Bible's basis of that, as God declares, when He speaks out of His word, He's looking for those that will accept it. As in the beginning when He created man, He established a very distinct gender identity. God's word makes it clear for all those that understand that He expects men to be men and women to be women, and each of these specific roles to play in God's order and His purpose. And men have a different role and part to play in what God is doing in the dispensation of creation. God has given man responsibilities, and He does not require those same responsibilities of women. And God has equipped the male with the power and the ability to accomplish what is required of man at the same principles that applies with women. And so this study that we're going to be doing is examining what God has declared in the Word of God concerning His ideal man, and what God's ability, and by His grace, we will answer questions such as, what was in the mind of God when He created man? What was the extent that sin marred this ideal creation? And is there hope of being restored to what God had in His heart when He first made man? So, we need to just dare to discover what requires of us as men. And believe you me, when I share, and as God is downloaded, He ministers more to me than He will to those that hear. And so we understand what happens in the Lamb's Book of Life. Everything is recorded there. As we stand and as we preach, it's recorded. So the one who shares is more accountable to the things of God. So as we study, I really believe that what was in the mind of God when He created man, there is a requirement that He requires. And He makes a commitment to allow the Creator of heaven and earth restore us men to His ideal creature, that man must indeed be valiant and courageous. As we encouraged as we discover the Word of God, that He is willing to continually restore those who are willing to submit to His ways, to what He desired from the beginning. And on the other side, while those that are in the world, who operate to the pattern according to this age, do not have the heart or the ability to conform to the standard. And dare I say that there are those who claim to be of God who have erred from the truth. So we need to be those who believe God and His Word. And we are prepared to diligently research the Scriptures to discover what God indeed offered man and how He defines this masculine creature. So, I strongly believe that we give too much credit to the devil. And let me just explain what I just said there. When some say that the devil made me do it, or some believe that a born-again believer can be possessed. As the Lord stated, you cannot serve two masters, Matthew 6:24. And if a house be divided against itself, that house cannot stand, Mark 3:25. Whereas sin is the issue at hand that corrupts, and yes, the devil can influence and deceive. So the impact that sin has upon humanity is that its attention and values have been diverted from God and the realm of the spirit to instead focus on the values that are derived from God. They are diverted, and in the realm of the spirit to instead focus on that which is natural. So they've gone away from that which God intends, and they start focusing on the realm of what they see in the natural. And so, you know, what matters today in these days is always related to self. And what do I look like? Am I attractive? Am I popular? Am I rich? Am I strong? Do I have influence? Am I possessed of much? Am I accepted? So in the world's view, personal image is what makes man to be the man that he is these days. And the real man that the world requires has to be attractive, be in good shape, and be potentially also sexually attractive as well. And how we measure success and what status do they have in society is the yard that they get measured against. And what do they do for income? And what do they drive? The type of vehicle that they drive? What positions do they have in various organizations? And that may even be in the church. What status do they have? So this is the pride of life that governs man's heart and what they look for, and potentially dedicate themselves to discipline their bodies and their drive in a temporal frame at the expense of a greater values and calling in life as God intended. Right. So the truth is, however, regardless the glory that might be attractive in this life is short-lived. And it is a trick of Satan to distract the heart of man from his creator, who despises the pride that is derived in idolatry. So the scripture that I'd like to refer to confirm what I've just said is Romans 1 and verses 21 to 28, where it says, and let me just get the Bible up here quickly. This is, I use Bible Gateway, and I'm quoting from the King James Version. It says, because that when they knew God, they glorified Him not as God, neither were thankful, but became vain in their imaginations, and their foolish heart was darkened. Professing themselves to be wise, they became fools, and changed the glory of the incorruptible God into an image made like to corruptible man, and to birds, and four-footed beasts, and creeping things. Wherefore God has also given them up to uncleanness through the lusts of their own hearts, to dishonor their own bodies between themselves, who changed the truth of God into a lie and worship and serve the creature more than the Creator, who is blessed forever. Amen. For this God gave them up to unto vile affections, for even their women did change their natural use into that which is against nature. And likewise also the men, leaving the natural use of the woman, burned in their lust one towards another, men with men, working that which was unseemly, and receiving in themselves the recompense of their error, which was meet. And even as they did not like to retain God in their knowledge, God gave them over to reprobate minds to do those things which are not convenient. So sin has blinded the heart of man. Man has lost sight of the truth that God created for an eternal purpose, and having lost his eternal purpose, man is left to drown in selfish struggles to fulfill the short-lived glory. And God's real and ideal man does not lie in what will elevate man's pride, but that which will bring the glory to his Creator. Real men are disciplined to become what God intended them to be. Real men discipline their lives to be established in God's order, and by faith seek to attract his good pleasure. So, God will never be satisfied with half measures. He must not only, the valiant man must not only be saved, but should be baptized in the Holy Ghost and also full of the Holy Ghost. And his leading and his guiding continually in our lives. So the Apostle Paul made it very clear that having been born again, we have received the Spirit of the life of Jesus Christ. And John the Baptist came preparing the way of the Messiah, who came full of grace and truth. And John presents a bold and glorious truth where he states, "And of his fullness have we received." So that scripture is 1 John 15:16, where it says, John bare witness of him and cried, saying, "This was he of whom I spake. He that cometh after me is preferred before me, for he was before me. And of his fullness have we all received, and grace for grace." So that word fullness there is the Greek word pleroma. And what it means is that what is filled, in other words, like a container, of which is it is put in to fill up. And so Paul adds to this claim, stating that in Jesus dwells the fullness of the Godhead bodily, and you are complete in him. And Jesus in us means that we are complete, as he rules over all principalities and powers.
Amen.
It's the Lord Jesus who does that.
Amen.
And he's in us. So Colossians 2:9-10 says, "For in him dwelleth all the fullness of the Godhead bodily, and ye are complete in him, which is the head of principalities and powers." So complete is pleru, which means to be made full. So here's the two put together. You are pleroma and you are pleru, which means that your container, your vessel is full of him. And with this completeness and fullness firmly established in the heart of Jesus, those he came to redeem, he triumphantly declares, "You shall receive power after that the Holy Ghost has come upon you." Now you can imagine that the fullness of the Godhead bodily dwelling in you, and then the Holy Spirit coming and igniting that, what power has been made available up to us?
Praise God.
However, we need to bear in mind that we are in a war zone. And when it comes to the spiritual realm, it's not against flesh and blood.
Yeah.
We need to be constantly reminded that to be complete in Jesus means that we are under his protection and his keeping power. Not by might, not by power. Acts 1 verse 8 says, and you shall receive power. I don't think we quite understand what that power really is until we understand how full we are in the fullness of the Godhead bodily. After that, the Holy Ghost comes upon you and you shall be witnesses. You see, sometimes there is a misalignment of what the Holy Ghost means for us. The main reason for it is, as we quoted the first scripture in Timothy earlier on when we started this, is to be witnesses. And that witness is the life of Christ that's emanating, the fullness of the Godhead bodily that's emanating from every one of us.
Amen.
So the presence and the example that we see happens soon after that in Acts 6, when honorable and valiant men were chosen. Man full of the Holy Ghost and wisdom, those that devoted themselves to prayer and to the ministry of the word, after hands were laid on them, the word of God increased and the disciples multiplied in Jerusalem greatly. So those of us who are valiant, brave and honorable, let's comprehend the importance of being complete in Christ and to be full of the Holy Ghost and wisdom derived from a heavenly Father to go forth to declare the perfect law of liberty. So let's continue to discover out of the Word of God of His plans right from the beginning. So no man with even the most basic persuasion and the knowledge of a sovereign Creator God, together with man's limited understanding of God's purpose and His ways of working, man could never believe that such great and powerful being would not have a purpose in what He is doing to work out His perfect plan. So essential to God's divine authority, His wisdom, and His power will always be God's divine order and purpose.
Amen.
So valiant men are not gullible fools who discount the truth and the logics of divine order. And so therefore valiant men are determined to get to grips with what purposes lie in the heart of the Creator. Valiant men pursue that which is right and that which is has meaning. Valiant men discipline themselves. They despise wasted energy, wasted time, and the waste of valuable resources. So like Jacob, who wrestled with the angel, valiant men cry from their hearts, I will not let you go until you bless me. So no matter the circumstance, no matter what the trials of life are, whatever we will be facing, we need to rise up. Just as Jacob was perplexed, not knowing whether to fight or flee at that time, he had to press in to obtain the promise. So much that the nation was named after him as he pressed in and was blessed, he became Israel. So the wounds and the limping he had to endure as a result of that wrestling bout was not worthy to be compared with the glory and the blessings and the covenant he had in place with God. So throughout the Bible, we are constantly reminded in that all that God has purposed, all that He can do and He will do, and He compares us with that which has come to that which we are now, because He says, greater things will you do than I. And so His order rests now within the word that He has spoken. And with this word, He preserves in the Word of God, in other words, the Bible, for those who desire to be valiant. And therefore, valiant men, make it their business to become fully acquainted with what God has to say in His Word. And so, the power of God's Word, just to close tonight. Solomon spoke wise words when he said, to fear God is the beginning of all wisdom. So the fear in man is an appreciation of the greatness of the power of God. And there's nothing too hard for God to do. The sooner that man gets around to accept God's almighty power, the sooner he will accept that God's will for them is well-pleasing to perform the doing of His declared plans and His purposes. So the biggest mistake that man can make is to feel he can reduce his Creator to be comprehended by man's limits and understanding. So man's only hope of a relationship with his Creator is just to trust Him, to fulfill His word, and to look into that perfect law of liberty, which is the Word of God, that it might be like a mirror, so that it would stand in front of us and we would say, what manner of man ought we to be? So Isaiah 55 verse 11 says, so shall my word be that goeth forth out of my mouth, it shall not return unto me void, but it shall accomplish that which I please, and it shall prosper in the thing, whereto I send it. So this very chapter of this Bible declares how all creation came into being, actually, through the spoken word of God. Just consider for the moment the perfect place that God created in Eden, the perfection of creation, and the matchless beauty, the absolute order that was placed, and the perfect harmony that God created. And all that we know or could even imagine, and all this came into being by the power of the Word of God. So in Ezekiel 12 verse 25, he states, for I am the Lord, I will speak, and the word that I speak shall come to pass. There's a huge blessing that awaits us. We have learnt the secret of taking God at His word and acting on it. Yeah. You know, we just need to trust Him. Mm-hmm. When the centurion came to Jesus and wisely chose to trust the spoken word as a servant lay at home, who was on his deathbed in absolute humility, and he humbles himself and he replies to the Lord Jesus Christ and he says, Lord, I'm not worthy that thou should come under my roof, but just speak the word only and my servant shall be healed. Matthew 8 verse 5. And indeed the word of the Lord was accomplished and it came to pass. That man was healed before he even got back home. For any man wishing to arise as a valiant man of God, he needs to realize that it is his best interest to take God at His word. In simple faith, like Gideon and the others like him, the valiant man must act courageously, never doubting. And this type of obedience pleases the heart of God. It is here where the weak, the powerless man surrenders his weakness and his will to make place for the evidence of the power and the presence of the sovereign God in his life. And so we cannot make mistakes. We need to guard our hearts, for it is the wellspring of life. And so consider the mistakes that were made in the Garden of Eden when they allowed their hearts to listen to the wrong voice, which sowed doubts in their lives, and even doubting the word of God. So there are many voices out there that seem to sound right. However, it has the potential of deviating us away from the truth. And only through God's word will the valiant realize the purpose of his creation. And these men of faith are the valiant who will realize the real life intended by God for his creation. And I think it's gone over an hour. So praise the Lord for this time that we were able to be together. And let us just humble ourselves before the Almighty God, who is able to do exceedingly abundantly above that which we even ask or think. In Jesus' mighty name. Sandy, if you would close in prayer for us, please. Amen. Praise the Lord.
Heavenly Father, thank you so much for this time that we could have in your presence tonight, Lord. Father God, all honor and all glory belong to your Son, the Lord Jesus Christ, seated this moment at your right hand side. Lord Jesus, we bow the knee before you and we declare with humble hearts, but with joyful hearts, yes, and with strong hearts, that you are the King of Kings, amen, and you are the Lord of Lords, and you are the first and the last.
Amen.
You are the beginning and the end.
Yes, Lord.
And even as the angels say, what is man that thou art mindful of him? Father God, we often wonder, what are we that you are mindful of us? But Heavenly Father, we are so grateful that you are mindful of us. And we experience this mindfulness day after day after day. Joy cometh in the morning.
Amen.
The going gets tough, but joy cometh in the morning as we look to you and as we ask you for wisdom and as we seek your face, Lord, to intervene in our challenges and our trials and the challenges and the trials that the loved ones around us face,
yes,
Lord. And so we thank you for your mercy and your grace, which are new. We thank you
every
for your
morning.
Compassion and your love. We thank you, Father God, for everything that you do for us. We thank you for the way you sustain us.
Amen.
Lord, we thank you that it's dark in Egypt, but it's light in Goshen.
Amen.
Thank you that we are dwelling in Goshen as we look to you and as we base our lives and our decisions and our actions on what your word has to say.
Amen.
Lord, I pray for every one of us on this call tonight, Father God, that you would give us eyes to see things spiritually and that you would give us ears to hear things spiritually. Father God, work with the soil of our heart. Make us and mold us, Lord, that all of us in our diversity and our diverse geographical placements, Lord, that when you look upon us, Father God, we bring your divine, all-knowing, all-present heart, incredible joy.
Amen.
Shine your marvelous
yes,
light before us, Lord Jesus, that we may walk therein. Mm. You are the way, the truth, and the life.
Yes, Lord.
And Lord Jesus, we look to you and to your truth, and to your life, and to your way,
Amen.
And to you alone. Father God, thank you for Conrad and for his faithfulness. I just pray a blessing upon him, Lord. Strengthen him, Father God. Fill him with your supernatural vitality, Lord, from the crown of his head to the soles of his feet. Father God, thank you for every nation that is represented on this call tonight. How exciting it is to live in February 2023 and be able to connect with brothers and sisters throughout the globe. Father God, thank you for the presence of England. Thank you for the presence of South Africa. Thank you for the presence of Northern Ireland and the Republic of Ireland, Lord. Thank you, Father God, for our brother Keith in the Ukraine.
Mm-hmm.
Lord, you're a God that's full of surprises,
yes,
and you love to surprise your children.
Amen.
And what a surprise it is to have the Ukraine in the house tonight.
Amen.
Father God, I pray your blessing upon every man and woman on this call tonight. Lord, let the men in our midst arise as mighty men of valor, as mighty men of courage, Lord. Give them eyes to see through the darkness of the age, Lord.
Mm.
Father God, shut out and drown the voices of the enemy, Lord. Let them be fine-tuned to the sound of your Son, the Lord Jesus Christ. And we pray that your Holy Spirit would continue working with us, all of us, would lead us into all truth. Father God, we thank you for this time together, and we speak a blessing over every single
Amen.
Person on this call tonight in the name of Jesus.
Amen. Amen.